Now, I thought we'd just share a brief word today, and because our children ministered to us, and because we know sometimes children have a way of getting to the heart of Christmas, I thought that we'd talk a little bit today about a grown-up Christmas wish that I think would also be a wish in the heart of every child. But when we grow up, sometimes our lists change. How many had someone on their list this year that was really hard to buy for? Anybody? Yeah. You always have those. And you wonder, you know, what is the best gift that I could give that person? And today, I want to share with you first just some of the letters, the actual letters that some of the children wrote on their Christmas wish list this year. One little boy wrote that, "I'm worried that my mummy's house does not have a big enough chimney, Santa. I hope you don't have any trouble." In the days of technology, you know, things have changed. So I've picked up this one Christmas wish list from a young girl who said, "Santa, please text my dad. He has my whole list." But things have definitely changed. There was a young boy named Devin who, on his Christmas wish list, true story, all he wanted was confirmation that Santa really does exist. Huh? How many have ever watched Polar Express? Isn't that one of the best Christmas movies you ever wanted to see? There was a boy named Elisha, not our Elisha, but still a boy named Elisha, who on his Christmas wish said, "I'd like very much to be turned into a dragon." And then he signed his Christmas wish list because he was pretty young. Happy Valentine's Day. A little bit mixed up. There was another one that that said, "I would like 5 feet long hair for Christmas." I don't know what that was about. "I'd like a real elf, a coloring book, crayons, and a new swimming pool to go with my 5 foot long hair," I guess. There was a note written by a girl named Lucy that said, "Dear Santa," now listen to this. Now, Lucy was a little bit older, but still a young girl. But she said, "Dear Santa, this year, please give me a big fat bank account and a slim body. And please don't mix them up like you did last year." I don't know. We grown-ups can appreciate that one, right? I want to tell you the story, a real story, though, to get us into the word that I'd like to share with you briefly today about a boy named Roland. Now, Roland was older. He was about 11 years old, just about ready to turn 12. But Roland, a true story, was a slow learner. Now, Roland was a very big boy for his age. As a matter of fact, he was at least a foot taller than any boys in his class. And he was big. He wasn't just tall. He was a big, strapping boy. And all the boys in his class wanted Roland to be their friend because just his very presence would take care of any bullies that they had to deal with. But what a lot of people didn't know was that Roland had a heart that was bigger than he was. So in this school, it was a Christian school, that I found the story, Roland was cast in the Christmas pageant. And they tried to find a role for him in the pageant that would be appropriate. So they cast him as the innkeeper in the Christmas pageant. And they gave him two short lines. And the first line, of course, was, "There's no room." And the second line was, "You can sleep in the stable," right? So Roland had practiced and he remembered his lines. They rehearsed many times before Christmas Eve is when they did their Christmas pageant. But on the day of the Christmas pageant, everything was going fabulously, you know, and the kids were doing wonderful. And Mary and Joseph found their way to Bethlehem and they found their way to Roland's house, which was the inn. And the first line that Roland came out with was perfect. You know, they knocked on the door, and Roland answered the door, and he said, "There's no room." Well, that was really good, and everybody was really proud, and everything was still rolling around. But the next line that was supposed to be, you can sleep in the stable, Roland forgot. And there was this long pregnant pause. You know, like in a pageant, how when somebody forgets their lines, it seems like it's an eternity of silence that happens. Well, Roland just didn't know what to do. It just wasn't coming to his mind. So Roland looked at little Mary and Joseph, and he said these words which brought down the house. He said, "It's okay. You can sleep in my room. I'll sleep on the couch." True story. True story. Now, is that precious? You know, that story jumped out at me because it has to do with seeing a heart that is truly pure. You know, as I was just praying this week and just asking the Lord, you know, about what to share on a Sunday when I knew that the children would be doing such a good job and that everybody would be anxious to see them, I was just struck by what I would describe as thinking about the beauty of God's holiness. And as my mind began to think about that, I believe just inspired by the same Holy Spirit that you have, I just started thinking about how God, in the beauty of his holiness, created us. And he created us with such a capacity for good. And sometimes it takes children to be able to see that again, to be able to see that innocence, that purity, that beauty of holiness. And it touches our hearts so much when we see it, just like in the story of Roland. It brought down the house, not because it was funny, but because every heart in that place was touched by what everybody knows God created us with, the capacity to love like he loves, to feel like he feels, and to exhibit that. And it is such a good thing. It's the greatest gift that God could ever give us, right? The greatest gift was that. Well, today, I want to share with you just one brief passage of Scripture, and one that I bet you that you have read before and probably have saw and studied, especially at Christmas time. It's about a grown-up Christmas wish from a man named Simeon. Do you remember Simeon in the Scriptures? A man named Simeon, now old, you know, many years. But Simeon had one wish, one, I'll call it a Christmas wish. It was a wish that he asked the Lord would give him before he died. Now, I don't know about you, but when you get to that point in your life, the things that you want are really revealing of your heart, right? When all else just kind of passes away and you look at what really matters, you know, it's then that your heart is revealed. It's then when you say what you really want, what really matters, right? So I want to read to you a little bit out of Luke chapter 2. And Glenn, if you want to bring this up, we'll start in the 21st verse of Luke chapter 2. Now, just for the setting, we know that by the 21st verse of Luke chapter 2, that Jesus has already been born. That the story of Zacharias had preceded this when God sent the angel Gabriel to tell Zacharias, Mary, and Elizabeth that they were going to have John the Baptist. And also preceding this piece was when the angel Gabriel also appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to be with child, and that it was possible because the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her, and that placed the eternal spirit of Jesus, pre-existent with God from the beginning, into her womb to bring forth from the eternal spirit of Jesus the child, the baby Jesus, in human flesh, God wrapped in human flesh. Now we know that just as we read on Christmas, the time had come for Mary to give birth, and because God wanted to fulfill the most detailed prophecy, the most detailed prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, he caused the census to be issued, and the census required everyone to go to their hometown to register. Now, the prophecy was that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, but Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth. And so because of the census, they traveled to Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy. The baby was born then in that stable and remained there for quite a while. Even before the magi or the wise men came, the baby remained there. And on the eighth day, according to the law of Moses, that firstborn child needed to be dedicated to the Lord. Ever since the Exodus, ever since God had saved every firstborn of Israel, if you remember, back in Egypt, whenever it took that final last plague of the firstborn to let God's people go, to get Pharaoh willing to let them go, God had decreed that every firstborn child must be dedicated to the Lord and redeemed. And it was also on the eighth day that a male child would be circumcised and their name would be presented to the priest. And that would be a very special ceremony. So Mary and Joseph made the trek from Bethlehem to the temple in order to circumcise and dedicate this special child. There was in Jerusalem this priest. His name was Simeon. And here's what it said. On the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had even been conceived. But when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. For as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. Now, what your Bible and my Bible says is that the sacrifice was a pair of doves or two young pigeons. But what you might not know is that the law of Moses actually said that that male child should be redeemed with silver. That was the redemption price. And if a family was poor and could not afford that redemption price, they were permitted under the law of Moses to offer the sacrifice of two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Isn't it interesting that in this scripture, the gift that Mary and Joseph brought as the sacrifice for their dedication ceremony was the birds, showing a couple of things. First of all, that they were not wealthy, and number two, that the magi had not yet come. And as they dedicated Jesus that day, it says, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. Now look what it says about him in verse 25. He was righteous and devout. What does that word, we know righteousness, what does devout mean? From it we get the word devotion, right? He was righteous and devout. Now, God saw fit to include this in our narrative so we can focus in on the things he wants us to focus in. We know that the scripture is so powerful because God inspired it to be written, that each word that God inspired is meaningful to us, meaningful to reveal something important to God. We know that God in the Bible did not write everything that ever happened. It's not a history book that is comprehensive. That's not what the Bible is intended to be. If so, it would be huge, right? but everything that God saw fit to include, that he thought was important. This man was righteous and devout. This man was devoted fully to the Lord. And the Lord, you see, sees that. He sees it in you. He sees it when you turn your heart to the Lord. The scriptures say that the eyes of the Lord just go through the earth. The eyes of the Lord go through the earth. And what do they look for? Do you remember? They look for a heart that is turned toward him, that is seeking him, that is looking for him. A heart that is wanting. A heart that is willing. And a heart that is good. A heart whose capacity for good was created by God, that actually is using that capacity for good. This was Simeon, righteous and devout, devoted to the Lord. Now listen to this. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now that should strike you for this reason, that before Jesus came and offered that final sacrifice that cleanses us from our sin, there was not the possibility for the Holy Spirit to come within. However, the Holy Spirit often, on prophets, would come upon someone. And when the Holy Spirit would come upon them, then God would speak to them. They would be able to receive from God the words of God. The Holy Spirit coming upon someone often caused them to prophesy in the Old Testament, often caused them to find leading or guidance. And this time, the Holy Spirit brought revelation to a man whose God saw his heart, to a man who was seeking something, a man who was seeking something that God was pleased with. He wanted to see. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean, consolation of Israel? You see, a man who was devout would be a man who was studying the scriptures, the Jewish Bible, the Torah, the law, and the prophets, right? The man who would know all the prophecies that God had given about the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior, the King, the one who would save Israel. Simeon knew these prophecies, and you know what? He anxiously waited for that fulfillment. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the one who would come to save his people. He knew the prophecies. He knew that God spoke, "It's coming." And you remember, it had been 400 years of silence when God had not spoken. The prophet Malachi was the last prophet that God inspired to speak to his people. After the prophet Malachi, silence for 400 years. The only time before that there was such a period of silence was the period prior to Moses, when the Israelites were 400 years in slavery in Egypt. Can you imagine not hearing from God? If you were among the nation of Israel, the people of God, knowing all along your history and how God always managed to show up, even when you were going astray, God always managed to raise up a prophet who would bring guidance, or he would bring a word that said to the people, "You got to repent. You got to turn back to God." Whether it was a word of encouragement or a word that tried to turn them back to God, God spoke to his people. But now, for 400 years, they had not heard a word from the Lord. You and I, in our lives, whenever we're on those spiritual highs and You know what I'm talking about, when you're really just feeling close to the Lord and the thoughts come into your mind when you know God is inspiring you, and it's a wonderful feeling. There is no better feeling to know that God is really inspiring you, that He's taking the time to speak personally to you. There's no better feeling than that. It's a wonderful thing to know that God is right there, and as you seek Him, He begins to inspire you. Now, we know because of Jesus, everyone has the ability to have that happen. Everyone has the ability to hear from God, not audibly, but through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has the ability to receive from God inspiration, guidance, direction. I mean, how many have been reading the Scriptures? Maybe the same one that you have read before, and now as you're reading that one, it jumps out at you, and then your thoughts begin to flow. What is that, church? That's the Holy Spirit that God has now seen fit to place inside of us to guide us and to lead us. What a gift that God has given. But now, talk about a dryness. We've experienced them in our lives when it seems like heaven's silent, you know, and when it seems like we're seeking, but the answer is just not coming, or we're just looking for that word, and even the Scriptures don't seem to be jumping out at us. We've all had that happen, right? We go through those periods when it seems heaven is silent. But even those who are old, like me, have not gone that long without hearing a word from the Lord. Not if you're seeking, right? Not if you're desiring, but 400 years of silence had now come about. They weren't used to hearing from God anymore. After that, how many generations would have been without the word of the Lord, without that guidance, without that encouragement, even without that word of bringing them back? Nothing. Nothing, like our children said. Nothing. You remember that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the classic. What was this? The anniversary, right? 50th anniversary? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And one of my favorite pieces in that is Yukon Cornelius. Boy, I like Yukon Cornelius, you know. He gets his pick out, and he's always looking for what? Gold or silver at the end. Yeah. And he always picks that pick, and he licks the end of it and goes what? Nothing. Nothing. That's what was going on here, nothing. In the midst of this nothing, you get this man who prays so earnestly, so diligently, so wantingly, Lord, please, I know I'm old. I know, Lord, I'm going to be with you soon, but please don't dismiss your servant from this earth until I see. That the Messiah has come, the consolation of Israel. Now, as he prayed, listen to verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I want you to understand that this is a powerful verse of Scripture. This is the God of the whole universe, who some of you think is too busy to worry about little old you. This is the God that created everything, that looks at a man almost ready to die and says, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to give him his heart's desire. I'm going to make his Christmas wish come true. That's our God. That's our God. And there he is, old and decrepit. You know, waiting. It had been revealed to him. Do you know what that would be like? To hear the word of the Lord for you and says, listen, your prayers are going to be answered. Your prayers are going to be answered. You're not going to leave this earth until you see, until you have that wish come true. How would that make you? And then to have it happen. For we know, as the Holy Spirit was upon him, it said, moved by the Spirit, Now you got to understand, this man this morning gets up and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, guess what? It's Christmas Day for you. Guess what? Today is the day. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been moved by the Holy Spirit? Or do you stand and sing, I shall not be moved? Sometimes I think we do that, huh? I shall not be moved. Moved by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that we would be moved by the Holy Spirit. What a world we would live in if every Christian would respond to the movement of the Holy Spirit and move. In the Old Testament, they moved with the cloud. Do you remember? That was there on above the tabernacle. And when the cloud would get up and move, the people knew it was time to pack up and move. Something was happening, right? Oh, that we as Christians would be able to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and allow him to move us. What a world we would live in. What a world we would live in if we had that sensitivity to be moved by God's Spirit. And as he went that morning, he was excited. Do you still get excited at Christmas time? Oh, I tell you, I can hardly sleep at Christmas night. I tell you, my kids will say, you know, I when they started getting older, I'd wake them up in the morning. You know, they wouldn't have to come and say, hey, Christmas. No, I wouldn't let them sleep past sometimes 6. As they got older, you can tell they really like that, right? Huh? No, you get so excited, you know. You get excited because of what? I got excited because of what? Same as you. There is a joy that comes in giving, isn't there? It's a preciousness. It's a great gift. Now listen to the story of this man. When the parents brought the Lord Jesus, the child, to do to him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and began to worship, began to praise. Can you picture it? And he says this. Listen. Verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people, Israel. Now let me tell you something about this man. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon had this prayer. You know what? Not for himself. Think about it. He's old. He's ready to go be with the Lord. What Simeon wanted more than anything else was to know that his family was going to be okay, that his people were going to be okay. And this man had a big enough heart to even want the world to be okay. This was a Jew, and it's very unusual for a Jew to be praying for Gentiles. But even Simeon had a heart big enough to know that the Christ, the Messiah, was not just for the nation of Israel, but for the whole world. And a heart big enough to not only want his family blessed. We want our family. Isn't that really the top of our Christmas list? Come on. Isn't that really the top of our Christmas list? That we want our families to be blessed by God with the best blessings that God has to give, starting with the number one, which is that our families would all know the Lord Jesus, would all have him as their Savior, would all have opened that gift that God freely gave and receive unto themselves the gift of salvation. We want that so badly because we know what it brings. It not only brings us joy and peace in this life, knowing that we're right with God and that He is with us and He will never leave us or forsake us. He's with us always. But it brings with us the joy of knowing we will never say a final goodbye to the loved ones that we know so much. This is the gift that we understand, that we've unwrapped. And you see, when we pray for our families, we pray that they too receive that gift. It's the number one wish, right? Simeon's. And then Simeon, again, was able to say, this is not only for my family, this is for my nation. For your people, Israel. And Simeon not only would not stop there, he went on to say, this is a light for all the Gentiles. See, this was a man who was truly righteous. This was a man that God worked in his heart so much that he began to have a heart like God's. God bless you. He began to have a heart like Christ. He began to be able to love like God loves, to want what God wants. And let me tell you something as we close this morning. When you begin to want what God wants, God knows. When you begin to want what God desires, the scriptures say it this way, when we pray anything according to His will, we have what we ask for. And then we seek, Lord, what is your will? Well, I'll tell you what His will is. His will is for you also to be able to have that righteous heart, that love like God's, that willingness to want what God wants. What did He want the angels to want? Peace on earth. Goodwill to man. You know, you have that capacity. God gave it to you. And through Jesus, He can bring it out in you. Not just Christmas, but all the time. As we just prepare this week and get ready for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I just want to leave you with this one last thought. This Christmas, be a man and a woman after God's own heart. Don't worry so much about the little things, but worry about the most important thing. Pray about it, want it, and watch God give it to you. Want love to come into your family, to bless your household. With that kind of gift that you know in your heart of hearts is the one that everyone needs and everyone truly would be blessed by receiving. And show them that you know it by showing that love, by showing those that mean so much to you that you know what they really want for Christmas. And you're willing to give it to them. Your love. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said. They shall see God. And as you just seek this week to return to that, to return to that beauty of holiness that God makes possible in you, and begins to purify your thoughts and return your mind to the true reason for Christmas and allow God to use you to bring forth from you that kind of love. It will truly bless us and will truly be the best gift that you could give because you received that gift. Joy comes when the beauty of holiness is present in our lives, when the purity of love comes forth. Let it come. Amen. Let it come. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've given to us and what you've made possible now because of it. Lord God, let us become like Simeon. Let us be like little Roland. Lord, let our heart be filled with so much more of you that we, this Christmas, be like you. Love and give the best gift of all. Be with our families, Lord. Be with our nation and our world. And Lord, in the midst of chaos, bring peace. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into the lives of people this Christmas, Lord. Let them truly receive you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.